Encourage you to open your Bible to the book of Exodus. We are going to spend time in Exodus, a couple of chapters there, and then also look at a couple of places in Numbers this morning as we spend a few moments looking at Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses. We are involved in a study of Exodus in our Wednesday night class, and so we've been looking at everything that God did, all the mighty works that He performed, the power that He displayed in bringing Israel out of servitude, out of bondage, through the Red Sea and on their way to inherit the promised land. I like to do character studies. There are different ways to approach a study of God's Word. Character studies is one of them, and I enjoy doing character studies. We just had a series of character studies that we wrapped up a few months ago, but there's no shortage of characters in the Bible, so we're always going to come back and look at individuals. And I like rooting for the underdog. And so I like to look at those characters that sometimes are overlooked, and that certainly can be true of the character we're looking at today, of Miriam, the sister of Aaron and Moses. Now, Miriam is mentioned in the book of Micah, Micah chapter 6 and at verse 4. In this section of the book of Micah, God is calling Israel to court. This is very much a courtroom type of language. And he is making the case for himself and making the case against Israel. And he goes through and mentions the different blessings that he has shown. And he mentions here the leadership that he provided for the nation when in its infancy he brought them out of their captivity. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. Now that truth is stated several times in the Old Testament and even some in the New Testament. But notice this last sentence here. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Now, we would expect to find Moses and Aaron in this list. We know that they are leaders that God selected and God appointed, and Israel benefited from them. But where does Miriam fit in as a spiritual leader of Israel? Have you ever viewed her in that way? Have you ever seen Miriam as anything other than just the sister of Aaron and Moses? What do we know about this woman? And more importantly, what can we learn from this woman? What do we need to learn from this woman? She doesn't show up very often in these chapters that cover the time in which she lived. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at a couple of places in Exodus. We're going to look at a couple of places in Numbers. And we're going to pull those together and we're going to make our character profile. We're going to see what we can learn about this woman and make the spiritual application to our lives. We get to begin with Miriam with her childhood. We learn some things about her as a child. Miriam is the oldest known child to Amram and Jochebed. And I say known because there are only three that are mentioned: Miriam and Aaron and Moses. There may have been others, but these are the only three that are mentioned. So we have to go by what we are told. She is the oldest child. Now we do know that Aaron was 3 years older than Moses. Exodus chapter 7, verse 7 says Moses is 80, Aaron is 83. So we can lock that in. We know how much older Aaron was than Moses. But we don't know for sure about Miriam. But we do get somewhat of a clue that Miriam is probably anywhere from 10 to 12 years older than Moses. And we infer that from when we first read about her here in Exodus at chapter 2. Let's look at this passage, Exodus chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Remember the circumstances under which Moses was born. He shouldn't have survived. Pharaoh gave the edict that all the male children of the Hebrews were to be exposed. They were to die But Moses' parents could not comply with this. They hid him as best they could. And when Jochebed could hide him no longer, she had a plan. She made an ark, covered it with pitch, put the child Moses in it, and then put it out into the reeds by the Nile River. Verse 4. Let's start reading here verses 4 through 8. Exodus 2, verses 4 through 8. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the maiden went and called the child's mother. Some interesting things that are happening here that we know contributes to Moses being spared and Moses being brought up in the privileged position that he was, that equipped him, that enabled him to serve in the special capacity that he was called to serve in, to lead God's people in this formative time in their history. Now, we learn here that Miriam, we learn some things about her character even as a child. And we mentioned she'd be about 10 to 12 years older than Moses. Verse 8 refers to her as a maiden. Maybe your translation says girl. It's translated from a Hebrew word that was used even to refer to virgin young women who were at marrying age. So it's not a term that would be used to refer to an infant or to a little child. And it's obvious from what is happening here, Miriam is at least old enough to be able to participate in the way that she does participate here. But we see some things about her. Even in her youth, she is brave. She is willing to step forward and talk to one of the royal family. Here's the daughter of Pharaoh. She's willing to step forward and to talk to her. She knows her parents are involved in an effort to defy Pharaoh's command and spare the child's life, and she's willing to participate in that and to step forward in that. We also see her compassion there. Now, it's mentioned that Pharaoh's daughter has compassion on the child, but obviously his sister had compassion on him as well, that she was willing to step forward and do what she could, not just to spare his life, but also to spare her mother. She steps forward in a way that allows the mother to be reunited with the child. And I would even make this conclusion. I would say that Moses probably would not have become the spiritual man that he was if it weren't for Miriam. If it weren't for Miriam reconnecting him with his mother. There is the passage in Hebrews chapter 11 that we are familiar with regarding Moses. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. When Moses came of age, we know that was when he was about 40 years old, he decided he was going to be identified with his people. How did he know those were his people? How did he know those were the people of God? How did he know about the promises of God to deliver and to bring the people out of the area, the part of bondage, to be their deliverer? Obviously, he learned that from his mother. And the only way he would have had any time with his mother was because Miriam stepped in and did what she did. And so we're introduced to her as a young person, but we're already impressed with her bravery and with her compassion. We know that that has made a difference in the life of Moses, and that has made a difference among God's people as well. Let's fast forward about 80 years, and we are in the time of the Exodus. In Exodus chapter 15, Miriam reappears and is finally mentioned by name. Exodus chapter 15 records the praise and the worship that Israel offers after they have been delivered through the Red Sea. We know that Pharaoh tells them to leave, and they leave, and God leads them up next to the Red Sea. Pharaoh changes his mind, gets all the army, and they come marching after, pursuing Israel. They're going to bring them back. They cry out, and Moses says, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And we know what happens. The Red Sea opens, it parts. Israel passes through on dry land. The army of Egypt pursues them, and as soon as Israel gets all the way through, the waters come back, destroying the most powerful army in the world at that time. And so here's Israel standing on the shore of the Red Sea, and the bodies of the dead soldiers washing up on sea. And immediately, they worship God in song. They praise God, and that's what's recorded for the most part here in Exodus chapter 15. One point that I would make about this before we go any further here, Miriam is about, well, she's over 90 years old at this time. In looking for artwork to use, clip art to use, almost every picture I found depicting Miriam, it depicted her as a young woman. I thought, well, you're talented at drawing, but you can't read your Bible worth anything. She's not a young woman at this time. She is in her 90s because Moses is at least 80. So she is in her 90s. But she's mentioned here, let's look at verses 20 and 21. "Then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.'" She's identified here as a leader in Israel. What is her role? Well, notice the text says that she is a prophetess. She's a prophetess. Now, this isn't said of very many women in the Bible, but it is said of some. Deborah, the judge, is a prophetess, Judges 4, verse 4. Josiah seeks help from a prophetess named Huldah in 2 Kings 22. In the New Testament, when Jesus is brought as an infant to the temple, Anna, the prophetess, is there in Luke chapter 2. And Acts 21, verse 9 mentions the four virgin daughters of Philip who prophesied. So we do have prophetesses mentioned in the Bible. Miriam is the first one. She's the first one referred to in this way. And this is a gift, and this is a role that Miriam acknowledges. In Numbers chapter 12, and we'll look in more detail in this passage with our next point. Numbers chapter 12 and verse 2, "So they said," this is Miriam and Aaron talking to Moses, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" Now, we don't have any record of any specific message that was delivered through Miriam, but we do have record of the fact that God spoke through her. God spoke through her as a prophetess. So in this role, she was definitely a spiritual leader in Israel. In this account, in Exodus 15, she is leading the women in worship. Verse 20 says that all the women went out after her. And what she appears to be doing here is she appears to be leading the women in reciting this song line by line behind the men. What we read in verse 21, Miriam answered them. Who is the them? Well, it could be the women following her, but more likely, she is answering the men as they are singing. Look at what is said in verse 21. "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea." If you back up to verse 1, that's how this song begins. And I believe what we're to understand from this is that what happened on this occasion is the men sang a line of the song and the women repeated it. And it went through the whole song that way. Who's leading the women? Miriam is leading the women in their worship. She is teaching them this song. This song would have been sung not just on this occasion. It would have been sung different occasion. It would have been sung in the home. Songs, psalms, were a way to recite God's dealings with Israel and to teach these truths to generations coming up. And so Miriam is teaching the women, equipping them to be able to teach their children of these great things of God. So in this, Miriam was a leader, a spiritual leader in Israel. There's another fact I wanted to bring in that shows us her importance to the nation. Numbers chapter 20 and verse 1 mentions her death and burial. When the people of Israel come again to the area of Kadesh, it simply says that Miriam died and she was buried. What's significant about that? Well, of this entire generation that comes out of Egypt, this Exodus generation, and as we've studied on different occasions, we've made the observation that there was very likely 2.5 million plus people in this nation at this time. Only three have their deaths and burial recorded. And it's the three siblings, Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. And the fact that her death and burial is recorded says something about how she was viewed by the nation and how important she was to the nation. There'll be one other thing that will come up in the next point that shows us her influence. But as we look at these points here, from the very few times she actually shows up, we see that she was a very important person to Israel, someone that God used. So Miriam was a good leader. She was willing to be used as a messenger for God, and the people were willing to follow her leadership and to honor her for her service. So that says some things about Miriam as a leader in Israel. There's one more thing that I want us to look at. You know, the thing about the Bible is that the Bible does not shy away from revealing the faults of its heroes. Miriam was a good person and a very capable leader, but she also sinned by rebelling against God. Let's turn now back to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. We read verse 2. I want to back up with verse 1 and read down through several verses in this chapter. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. Suddenly the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tabernacle of meeting." So the three came out. Then the Lord came down in the pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he said, "Hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings, and he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. And when the cloud departed from above the tabernacle, suddenly Miriam became leprous, as white as snow. Then Aaron turned toward Miriam, and there she was, a leper. So Aaron said to Moses, "Oh, my Lord, Please do not lay this sin on us, in which we have done foolishly and in which we have sinned. Please do not let her be as one dead, whose flesh is half consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, please heal her, O God, I pray. Let's pause right there. Moses is approached by Miriam and Aaron. Moses was established as God's appointed leader at this time. We know this, and they should have known this for several reasons. Number one, of the 40 years, almost 40 by now, that they have been spending in the wilderness, the time that they've seen the role that Moses played, that they should have understood that. Secondly, Moses' skin was shining because he had appeared before God. He had indeed seen the form of the Lord. So that was a reminder every time they saw Moses that he had access to God that they did not enjoy, that he enjoyed this special relationship with God. But, you know, they're siblings. They're siblings, and oftentimes that plays a role. She, in fact, was jealous of Moses. What started out in verse 1 as a complaint against who he married is shortly revealed to be a complaint about something else. It's not about who he married at all. It's about the fact that Miriam was jealous of the role that her little brother, her baby brother, was playing. And she was jealous of that. You know, sometimes submitting to a younger sibling, I guess, could be a difficult thing. I'm the oldest, so I don't know what that must be like. You'll have to ask my sister, who has no problem whatsoever being a younger sister, my younger sister. But maybe we ought to ask her. That can't always be an easy thing. And at this point in time, it got the best of Miriam. She overstepped her bounds, and she sinned. God is the one who had chosen and elevated Moses, and Miriam and Aaron were really rebelling against God, weren't they? They weren't rebelling against Moses. They were rebelling against God. God tells them in verse 8, why were you, you should have been afraid to speak against my servant Moses. They should have been afraid. They should have respected what God had done, what God had set in order, but instead they spoke against God's appointed leader. There's a lesson for us to learn from this as well. How dangerous it is for us to let sin, anger, emotion get the best of us, and we end up speaking against God's leaders today. We need to learn a lesson from Miriam here. Now, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to address the question, why was it that Miriam was struck with leprosy and not Aaron? And I'm sure some are thinking that question. Perhaps you've thought about that before. There are different ideas, but I believe the best response, the clearest idea here, the best answer, is the fact that Miriam obviously was the instigator here. She's mentioned first in verse 1, not Aaron. And this isn't the first time that Aaron has been swayed and manipulated to rebel against God. If you go back to Exodus 32, the whole incident with the golden calf, Aaron was swayed by the people to do something that he knew he shouldn't have done. Here, I believe he is swayed by his sister to do the same. Well, Aaron immediately turns to Moses. Moses prays unto God, and Miriam is healed, but there are consequences. Verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, would she not be shamed 7 days? Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and afterwards she may be received again. So Miriam was shut out of the camp 7 days, and the people did not journey till Miriam was brought in again. This all starts with Miriam wanting equal billing with her brother, and how does it end up? it ends up with her outside the camp as someone who is unclean. And we don't read of any complaint on her part. She accepts the consequences of her actions. She accepts that after the days are over, 7 days are over, she comes back into the camp. And notice, here's what I made mention of before, the entire nation holds her in such respect that they wait for her before they move. And so that, again, tells us something about the influence that she had over the nation there. But there are consequences to sin. I would say, even if you're a leader among God's people, but I would say instead, especially if you are a leader among God's people, there are consequences to your personal sins. Miriam learned that. Miriam accepted that. So here's this woman that we know of, but we don't know a lot about her. She blends into the background as her brothers take preeminence in this time of Israel's history. But there's some great lessons that we can learn and need to learn from Miriam. She had courage and she had compassion. She had faith and she had influence. And she used all of this in leading God's people. And she did sin. But when she sinned, it's obvious that she repented, she accepted the consequences, and she continued to serve God in the role that God had given her. Now, there are some things here that all of us can learn. We can all learn something from Miriam. She's a great role model for us, but I would say especially for women who are seeking to use their talents to lead and influence God's people in what capacity they can today. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we are thankful for the men and the women that we have record of in your word who interacted with you, who received and did the best they could to follow your will and leave the example for us to learn from. We pray that you would help us to learn the lessons we can from this great woman from your scriptures, and that we can make the needed application to our lives today. We pray that there would be more godly women like her who would step forward and would serve you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.